Do your children know how to dig deep into God's Word to find all of the riches that are there? Sally Michael says that ought to be a parent's priority.
I remember my youngest daughter, she was 4 at the time, and we were reading through a Bible storybook with her, and I would just pepper her with questions. Why did this happen? And what do you think I was doing here? And I mean, just constant questions. And one day she said, "Ooh, your questions are so hard." And I said, "That's because I want you, when you go to the Word, to think about what it's saying and who God is and what it means for your life. I want you to learn to interact with the Bible and think."
This is Family Life Today. Our host is Dennis Rainey, and I'm Bob Lapine. How do we raise children who are not just Bible readers, but Bible explorers? We're going to talk about that today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. This was many years ago, we surveyed a bunch of people. I think it was more than 70,000 people that we surveyed in churches all across the country. And I remember one of the questions we asked was, if you wanted help in parenting, what would be the issues that you would like help with? And we thought sibling rivalry, disciplining your kids,
allowances.
Yeah, we thought it was going to be all those kinds of issues. But you remember what the number one issue was, don't you?
I do. Spiritual life in the home.
Yeah. How do we help our kids understand the gospel and respond to the gospel and grow in their faith?
And recently, Barbara and I got away on a vacation, and one of the things we were talking and praying about is what the couple who join us today have already done. And the concept is found in Psalm 78, where it talks about a generational relay race that every follower of Christ needs to run and needs to know how to make a good handoff to the next generation.
And that's the reason that the organization that this couple is a part of is called Truth 78, because of that psalm.
That's exactly right. David and Sally Michael join us on Family Life Today. David, Sally, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you.
Our pleasure to be here.
David and Sally hail from Indianapolis, Indiana. David's a pastor there. Sally is really one of the founders of Truth 78, and she is the co-author, along with Jill Nelson, of a family devotional called Glorious God, Glorious Gospel. And I guess I want to ask you, Sally, where did this passion for making this handoff in this relay race come from in your heart? How did that occur?
I did not grow up in a Christian home. I was saved at 12. And my parents didn't know the Bible themselves, so they couldn't spiritually nurture me, but they did send me to Christian schools, which was a huge blessing in my life. So when I had children, I wanted to make sure that they knew the Word of God. We had taught Bible clubs before, and we would always get frustrated with the material because it was teaching good morals. It was teaching man-centered theology, I would say. And we would keep having to change the material to teach it. And we would just get so frustrated with it because we really wanted our children and other children to really know the God of the Bible, not the men of the Bible. And not a God who was very limited and small, because he only has a few attributes like love and kindness, but in his full faceted personality and character. So I think the Lord just kind of bred that in us. I just have always had a passion since becoming a Christian of making sure that other children grew up with the truth that I did not grow up with.
You had two daughters.
We had two daughters.
And is this kind of how you taught them at that point then?
Yes. We would just open up the Bible and read it and explain it to them. We went through different books. I think both of our children made a profession of faith with Ken Taylor's The Book for Children. Because all he does is tell the Bible story. But then you can go in there and say, for example, the story of Moses and being found in the river by the princess. Say, who put Moses right at the right place at the right time? Mm-hmm. And you can help your children to see that God is a God of tremendous providences. God placed him there. Mm-hmm. He just at the right time. you could use that book and just insert theology in it, because all he does is tell a story.
I'm thinking back to going to Vacation Bible School when I was a kid. And I don't remember a whole lot about it. I do remember that as a kid, you're intrigued by stories about a strong Samson who could bring down the walls with his own strength, or about Jonah being in the belly of the fish, or about Daniel standing strong and brave against the enemies, and the three children in the fiery furnace. I mean, those capture the imagination of children. And David, you can understand why people who have a heart to want to share the Bible with kids, they gravitate toward those stories, because hearing about a lion whose mouth is shut when you're sent into the cave, that's something that kids are waking up and paying attention to, right?
Exactly. And yep, and everybody knows kids love stories. And I think as we were raising our children, the disconnect between what children are typically taught from the Bible and what the Bible really teaches of God, that disconnect was what kind of drove us toward this passion to, out of Psalm 78 there, just teach the truth to our children. We're hiding the truth by ignoring the main character of the Bible.
There's a command in Psalm 78 to do two things. And it is a generational handoff, but it is a command to us as parents, and I believe grandparents, to not only pass along the truth of God's Word, but also the experience of God
right, exactly.
in a person's life. And I think there's where a lot of children aren't seeing their parents connect the dots. They may hear parents talk about the truth of God's Word, but they're not hearing the parents talk about how Jesus Christ invaded my life. And let me tell you how he did that this afternoon.
Yeah, there is a danger, don't you think, of telling kids stories from the ancient writings that make it sound like that's back when God lived and when he was active in people's lives, and it doesn't fit our modern lives. So to show them what the Bible says about how God has worked in the lives of men and women throughout history, but then to tell them your own story of how God's worked in your life, that really ties it all together, doesn't it, Sally?
Yeah, I think God is still writing a testimony. He wrote testimony in the Old Testament, New Testament. He's still writing a testimony in our own lives and hearts of his people. And we so often don't share that testimony with our children. But I think even as we read the Bible as adults, so often we just read it and we read the words and, oh, those are good truths. But to stop and say, okay, now what does this mean in my life? What is God saying to me? How is he leading me? What do I need to change? What do I need to obey? What is there a promise here for me to hang on to? And then what you have seen from the Word, what the Lord is working in your heart, just open your mouth and talk about it with your children. And then weave him into all of everyday life. You can say to a child, for example, who's facing a piano recital, who is a little nervous about that piano recital, you can say to that child, oh, you've practiced really hard. You know what to do. You know, you're feeling a little nervous, but when you get up there, your fingers are going to remember, and you're going to know how to play that piece. And you've just turned that child only to her own strength. And an alternative way that a Christian parent really should guide a child is to say, I understand that you're nervous and you're afraid, but you know what? I'm going to give you a verse. It's Psalm 125, 1 and 2. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. So you know what? You take that verse and you walk up to that piano and you say, Lord, I am in your hands. And when you play for Jesus, knowing that he is there with you, he is behind you, he is in front of you, he is beside you, and you put your hands in the hands of Jesus, and you play for him. And no matter how you play, no matter how your piece comes out, you will not be shaken, because you are standing on the Lord.
Sally, you got emotional just recalling that verse.
That's the first time that's ever happened to her.
I'm not believing that for a minute.
Why is that verse so meaningful in your heart?
I think the promises of the Bible, they are so precious. They are so precious. And they speak to all of our experiences in life. And if we live our lives focusing on those promises, we're going to live life very differently. We're going to bring God into all of life. I got, I think, the best compliment I have ever gotten in my life this summer. We had our three grandchildren for 2.5 weeks by themselves. which was really wonderful because it was such a wonderful time for us just to spiritually nurture them. And my 10-year-old granddaughter said to me one day, Grandma, I think you can take any subject and turn it into a conversation about God. And I said to her, I said, Katie, that's because everything in life is about God. And I think that's what sometimes Christian parents don't do. Yeah, they're talking about being nervous of a piano recital. They don't relate that to who God is, his constant presence with his people, his faithfulness to guide them, to be with them, to help them in their weakness. We tend to turn children into, okay, you're strong enough yourself. They're not. They need the Lord.
I've got a friend who shared a story. He's a grandfather, too. And his teenage grandson came to him and said, Grandpa, I'm not sure I want to play basketball next year on the varsity team. His grandson, I think, was a junior in high school. And the grandfather could have kind of blown that off, maybe gone another direction. But you know what he said to his grandson? I thought, this is what we're talking about here. He looked his grandson in the eye and says, you know what I want you to do? I want you to encounter Jesus Christ. I want you to go get face-to-face with him and mm-hmm. ask him what he wants you to do. Because he said, I was looking at my grandson's face, and he was troubled. He had anxiety. He was worried, and there was something bothering him. And he said, I couldn't put my finger on it, but I knew the one who could.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And about a week later, he got together with his grandson again and said, so what's up? He said, well, I think I'm going to play basketball. I think that's what he wants me to do. Those may not sound like a big deal, but when we have an encounter with Jesus Christ ourselves, and then we can introduce our children, our grandchildren, to have an encounter with Christ, that's passing on our faith in a living, fresh way.
Yeah, it's what we try to emphasize, this God-centered orientation. When we're telling Bible stories, tell the stories in a God-centered way. It's amazing how in a world that's very self-centered, it's a very countercultural approach to raise our children with the orientation that God is the center of the universe in a world that wants to tell them you are the center of the universe.
David, the ministry you give leadership to, Truth 78, that's a new name for a ministry that some of our listeners may have heard of before. Tell us a little bit about the organization.
Yeah, they may have heard of Children Desiring God, which is 20 years old now, and that's where we started back when these passions were emerging, and we created Children Desiring God as a way to provide God-centered resources and to make them available for the church. Fast forward 20 years after some reorganization, we needed to come up with a new name, and came up with Truth 78 mainly because Psalm 78 has been a signature text that has defined our ministry over the years, and this focus on teaching what is true about God. And so putting those two realities together, truth and 78, mm-hmm. linking it to Psalm 78.
And Sally, this devotional is just one of the tools, one of the resources you're making available. But I have to tell you, I love this devotional, and I love the work you've done. When I first saw it, my first thought was, okay, well, Chapter 1, that'd take me a week, maybe longer, to go through. This is not a devotional where you sit down and read a story and read a verse and then pray a prayer at the end. You're mm-hmm. trying to creatively pull parents and kids alike into understanding who God is.
I think we're very intentional about the discipleship of children, and I think the word discipleship is really important, where we are making disciples. I think so often Christian parents tell children what to believe, but what you want to do is you want to train them to look at the Word themselves and understand for themselves and interact with the Word of God so that it becomes their own. It's personal for them. And so we are really pushing parents to interact around the Word. Then we're hoping that as they use the guide to interact, ask questions of the text, ask questions to apply, they will then learn to do that in all of life. So we start with the mind, and we give them text to interact with and content to interact with. But we don't want to stop at the mind. We want to go to the heart. So then we start with application questions. What does this mean in your life? Is there a promise for you? What is God saying to you in this passage? Or how can you apply this in your life? and then move to the will, which is where obedience comes in. Okay, what steps are you going to take in response to what you have heard and what you have learned? But we really do want to start dialogue, spiritual dialogue between parent and child.
It wasn't long after we began to sling our arrows out toward the target, they began to leave home, that they came home with a message for me. My adult children said, "Dad, we don't want the truth teaching, Daddy. We just want you to interact with us and to connect with us."
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing was, instead of being wounded and crawling away and licking my wounds at that point, I thought, you know what? They're telling me something. I need to listen up.
Mm-hmm.
And what you talk about in your book here is you mention it is an interactive devotional. That's very important because this isn't a truth teaching devotional. It's where a parent invites the child into the truth of God's Word mm-hmm. and the experience of God's Word.
Yeah, one of the things we emphasize is just the importance of Christian parents teaching their children to think. Rather than just giving them something to believe, we want them to understand why they believe what they believe. And I've actually learned this from Sally, that one of the most effective tools for helping a child think is by asking questions and interacting with them. And that's why a devotional that just lays out the information child hears, but have they really thought and taken that truth and made the application? So the interactive dimension of this is really important.
So in session one, one of the things you point out is that there are more than 3,000 verses in the Bible where God reveals something about himself to us, 3,000 verses where he discloses who he is. Mm-hmm. And then you say, what does that tell us about God? And I'm just thinking that observation and that question at a dinner table could mm-hmm. be all it takes for that evening for you to engage around. Well, this is a God who wants to be known.
Right.
That's why he's telling us so much about himself. This is a God who is not hiding anything. You could explore all kinds of things that come out of that. If this is a God who wants to be known, and if he is as great as he says he is, where do we go with it? I'm just imagining dinner table conversations with kids around something as simple as that, where you could be in mm-hmm. chapter one of this devotional for 8 or 10 days before you ever get to chapter two, and it would be a rich time.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's often the way I hear parents using it,
mm-hmm.
and that's the way in our own experience with our grandchildren, that's the way you've used it.
The whole idea of interacting with children, you can do this at a really young age. I remember my youngest daughter, Christy, who is now 34, but she was 4 at the time, and we were reading through a Bible storybook with her, and she and I would sit there, and I would just pepper her with questions. I mean, we couldn't get through a story in it because I would say, "Oh, now why did this happen? And what do you think I was doing here?" And I mean, just constant questions. Mm-hmm. And she one day she said, "Ooh, your questions are so hard." And I said, "That's because I want you to think. I want you, when you go to the Word, to think about what it's saying and who God is and what it means for your life. I want you to learn to interact with the Bible and think." At the end of that year, she was asking me questions I couldn't answer. So I could have said, "Ooh, your questions are so hard."
Yeah.
Because she had learned to think. She had learned to interact. That's a process that a child learns by you exposing them and stretching that brain muscle so that they stretch for answers. And then you teach them, you know what, when you come to the Word, you come with a prayer because you are not wise enough to figure this out. You need God and the Holy Spirit to help you. So I'm going to ask you hard questions, but you better ask God for the answers.
And I just love the fact that you're helping parents and children not simply memorize rote facts that they find in the Bible, or I can repeat back the story to you, but let's think critically. Let's mm-hmm. interact critically. There needs to be more critical thinking skills about every area of life in our kids. But when it comes to the Scriptures, this is how young people will get engaged and know for themselves, this is what I believe, if they're challenging what they're reading with critical right. thinking skills.
And to Sally's point, here's what most parents are feeling right now. I could never do what Sally's done because she's become a very well-trained teacher. And yet, every Christian has the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And he teaches. He is referred to by Jesus in John chapter 14 as the helper. Mm-hmm. So to Sally's point, if you don't know what you're doing, ask the helper for help.
And if you don't know what you're doing, join the club with the rest of us.
Exactly. And I just remember what Dr. Hendricks said in class one day. Bore your children with Shakespeare. Bore them with this and that from education. But never bore your children with the Scriptures. Mm-hmm. He said, it's alive.
Exactly.
It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And we should add electricity to our dinner table, like Bob's talking about, when we ask these questions, and not let the question dribble out and die. Mm-hmm. Press into the kids. Mm-hmm. Force them to think, like Sally was talking about.
Share a little bit about some of the other things. You've got curriculum that churches are using, other resources available, right?
Let's start back in 1996. We said, we really want to teach the Word. And so David said, well, you better start looking for something. And I did, and I couldn't find anything. And he said, well, I guess you're going to have to write it. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I'm going to keep looking. And so I kept looking, and I said, I can't find anything. And Sunday school is going to start. And he says, well, you better start writing. And I said, I don't know how to do this. And so I'm going to look some more. And finally, it got to the point I couldn't find anything. So he said, you're going to have to write this. And I said, David, I don't know how to write children's Sunday school curriculum. He said, well, God does. How do you argue with that?
That's right.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've looked through your book. God did a pretty good job.
Yeah, you figured a few things out over the years.
Well, it really was a work of prayer. Just pray and say, God, what do you want to teach these children? How are you going to do it? So between my friend Jill Nelson and I used to take walks. We both homeschooled our kids and said, how will you teach the Bible to children? We would have a lot of conversations about this. So I said, Jill, if I'm going to write this, you're going to do it with me. I didn't even give her a choice. You're doing this. And so we just started writing Sundays for our church, just for the kids in our church to know God. So we've written a Sunday school curriculum all the way up through 10th grade, a midweek scope and sequence as well, not quite up to 10th grade, but close. And then we have started on devotional books that parents can use with their children, storybooks, a lot of parenting resources. David probably could tell you more about those parenting resources. The Fighter Verse program, which is a Bible memory program.
Yeah, I think maybe just to say back to the curriculum a little bit, I was entrusted with the responsibility to take the Psalm 78 truth that we have been given and pass it on to the next generation. And so what defines that truth? Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ear to the words of my mouth. Or if you go back to Deuteronomy 6, these words that I'm giving you today shall be on your heart. Teach them to your children. Or you get to Acts 20, where Paul says to the Ephesian elders, I'm innocent of your blood because I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. So we've got a testimony in Psalm 78. We've got the words and the law given in Deuteronomy 6. You got Paul's whole counsel of God. And the responsibility I was feeling as a pastor, what is that? And how are we intentionally passing that on to the next generation? So this wasn't just about creating a curriculum, you know, giving you something that you can teach your kids in Sunday school. This really is our best effort to say, okay, this is how we're understanding this body of truth that we have to pass on to the next generation. And it starts in the nursery. I mean, there are specific strategies that we have for imparting this truth to our children in the nursery, and then first grade, second grade, all the way through. So it's really not just a product that we provide, but it's our effort to try to take this truth and sequentially pass it on. So it's very intentional. And then the other resources that we have support what we're trying to do with this, recognizing that parents have significantly more influence than the church does in the discipleship of their children, to really give them resources that will support that.
We've got a link on our website at familylifetoday.com to the Truth 78 website where people can see the resources you've got available. And of course, Dennis, we got copies of this devotional, Glorious God, Glorious Gospel, in our Family Life Today Resource Center. This is a book that moms and dads can start using immediately to have some pretty stimulating conversations around the Bible with their kids.
And Psalm 78:4 says, don't hide the truth about God and the experience of God from your children.
Right.
I just was reading it here and I was thinking, how do we do that? You can hide something on purpose, or you can hide something by neglecting to teach it. And what I want to challenge parents to do is to take really what David and Sally have created here and find a way to interact with your family and use your dinner table. Recapture it for some sound discussion and stimulating conversation. But don't bore them with the Bible.
You're going to have to start having dinner together now as a result of this. But when you do, whether it's dinner or breakfast or after dinner or bedtime or whenever you get the family together, have some conversations that engage your children in thinking about God, thinking biblically, thinking theologically. And the book that Sally has co-authored with Jill Nelson is a great resource to help you with the right kinds of conversations. And I'll just say, from my own experience with this book and with kids, you can't get through a whole section in one sitting. This is just a little piece at a time. But a few of these questions, a few of these illustrations or thoughts or crafts or the things that have been put into this book will help you teach your children to know who God is and to know what his plan is for our lives. The book is called Glorious God, Glorious Gospel. There's a companion coloring book for young kids to be engaged as you go through these sessions. We've got both the coloring book and the book in our Family Life Today Resource Center. I'm going to encourage you, if you've got elementary age kids, pre-elementary, even junior high, senior high kids, get a copy of this book, and next time you're having dinner, pull it out and read a couple of paragraphs and start a discussion around your dinner table. You can order the book from us online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call to order. 1-800-FL-TODAY is the number. Again, the website is familylifetoday.com, or call to order 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Speaking of engaging your children around biblical ideas, especially during the holidays, Family Life has put together a resource that we called the 12 Names of Christmas. We've taken different titles for Jesus and made kid-friendly Christmas tree ornaments that you can use during the Christmas season as a way to introduce your child to whose birthday we're celebrating. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah. Each of these ornaments is designed for your kids to be able to hang on the tree, and you can have a conversation with them about what each title for Jesus' name means. We'd love to send you the 12 Names of Christmas as a thank you gift today if you're able to help Family Life with a donation to support the work that we're doing. Every time you make a donation to Family Life, you're investing in the marriages and families of couples all around the world who are receiving practical biblical help and hope as they tune into this broadcast online, on their local radio station, through their Amazon Alexa devices. There's a wide variety of ways that people are getting in touch with us and listening to Family Life today. You make that possible when you support this ministry. And again, you make a donation today and we'd love to send you the 12 Names of Christmas for your kids or your grandkids to enjoy during the holiday season. Donate online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY to make a donation. You can also request the 12 Names of Christmas when you mail your donation to Family Life Today at Box 7111, Little Rock, Arkansas, and our zip code is 72223. Now, tomorrow we're going to talk about how men can protect their moral integrity, their moral purity, especially in a culture or a world that keeps pushing them away from God's view of sexuality. Roger Fankhauser will be with us here to talk about that tomorrow. I hope you can be with us as well. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our host, Dennis Rainey, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today. hope for tomorrow.